Okay.
Okay. Number seven. Doesn't it seem that time, instead of being advantage, of being an advantage, as it was in your youth, is now an enemy and adversary working against you? Is time running out without your having accomplished or attended too much of what you desired? Have you been putting things off until now? You're not certain you will ever achieve your dreams.
Your dreams.
Have you, in many ways, given up, surrendered your dreams and everlasting self and life to time and language and circumstances? No one has more than 24 hours a day. How have you spent your previous moments?
Precious.
Precious moments. What means precious?
Precious, something that you just cherish.
Okay. Did you live them wisely and fully, productively and enrichingly, as you truly desired? Or did you squander your moments? Have you spent your time in useful imaging and contemplation, or in frivolous brooding? Do you have any regrets or disappointments? Is there anything you wanted that you neglected or avoided? Some of that.
We all.
Number eight. It is frequently declared that time once spent cannot be recalled. None can it be,
nor
can it be accumulated and stored for future use. But is this actually true? Time and space, the ether of the universe, is memory. Thus, like memory, time can be stored and recalled. Well, that's cool. And accumulated or expanded for future use. You live simultaneously in two worlds. One is as it is.
As it is.
As it is. And the other is as you believe and live it to be. You can change everything in time and space, one thing at a time, or change what you believe, and everything will immediately change to be as you truly believe and action yourself and life to be. Remember, a belief is only how you describe things. It is never a truth. 9. In that ways,
in what ways
might your pains, problems, and afflictions, and even your independent health
impending
death, be because you are living your language descriptions of things as you have been taught and won't live as you truly desire? Isn't that possible? Despite all the evidence to the contrary, you still observe the sun going around the earth, and the earth appears nearly flat. Is it wise to continue these ancient beliefs and ways? No. 10. Do you feel you have moved past the midpoint in your life before your time, before you are ready? Have you spent too much time in self-indulgence?
Indulgences?
Or in actions intended to distract you from the passing of time and life? Time treats the righteous.
Righteous.
Time treats the righteous and unrighteous, the good and the
wicked
alike. Those who serve and those who grasp are treated alike by time. Only the patient and impatient, the enduring and fearful, and those who are abidingly wise and live an emergent life are treated differently. Are treated differently by time.
Okay. You're getting tired, so let's pass it on to someone else. Who else is
here? That's fine. I like how Marilyn reads by the TV. You want to pass?
Good. Yeah, sure. Want me to get closer?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Eleven. Has time been a faithful and loyal servant for you? And is it still a faithful servant? Or is it a thief in the night stealing light and life from you? What might your pains, problems, and difficulties reveal?
Afflictions
reveal about this and about your beliefs about time and your time in particular. Have you lived your time wisely or foolishly? And what will you do now? Does it seem you do not have enough time to accomplish all you truly desire? So there's no reason to change your life and ways for something you'll never be able to complete? Isn't it possible you are merely creating
excuses
for not changing, for continuing yourself in life as usual, to the bitter end? If you continue in these ways, your life will not only be disappointing, it will lead you to the edge of despair. Are you willing to risk such a possibility? Or do you feel that near the end you will be rewarded and fulfilled for being ever faithful to your old distorted beliefs and ways? Or are you hoping that you will be able to avoid these consequences or extend your life and make it meaningful? Or that you will be given a second or third chance, or a new life, and opportunity in an afterlife. Don't be too certain of these things, or be too complacent in such beliefs, for death can come all too soon and quickly, and force you to face the truth of yourself and life, and lifelong before you are ready, as I discovered. 12. Isn't it possible that this is your opportunity for an abiding afterlife? If so, then pay attention and heed my words. 13. Does the thought of death as an end seem to rob you of a meaningful self in life today? Do you find yourself asking, what difference does anything make? What real difference has my life made? And what difference can it make if it all ends up in death? If it all ends in death. For no matter what I do or fail to accomplish, everything will end at death and rob me of any real meaning. So what good is anything? Do you feel that no matter what you do, righteous or unrighteous, all of your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions will die with you and be forgotten? Does it seem you are also running out of time and opportunities, and nothing will give lasting to yourself in life? Others grow old and progressively weaker, as their precious passions and achievements fade into meaninglessness. Are such images and concerns driving you to futile actions to satisfy temporary indulgences and emotions? If so, know that memory, not memories, is everlasting. And believe it or not, you are already an everlasting memory in the universe. And this is truly meaningful. Never to be lost or forgotten. You are already everlasting and can continue being alive everlastingly. All you have to do is choose that and live everlastingly today. Or are you too busy living your old beliefs and ways of death and possible resurrection to live the beliefs and ways of everlasting life? Which asks you, from this moment on, to live every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action you would be willing to live eternally and have done eternally to you. For this will command the universe to be eternal, for you to be eternal in. The universe promises this to you. Or are you too busy living your feelings and distorted beliefs and life of death to live your promised eternal self and life? Whew. 15. Is your sense of life coming to an end? Is your life filled with more guilts, regrets, and disappointments than with fulfilling meaning and purpose and promise? Do you feel lost in your own life? Have you stopped even imaging and dreaming? 16. Blocking or distracting your mind from these thoughts, questions, and promises of being alive eternally will not succeed. For the truth of your deepest desires and will always be with you. But these things cannot just be talked about. They must be enlivened and lived today. 17. Do you really believe that at death you will be judged for what you have done, and as well for what you have and not done, or offered, achieved, supported, or accomplished? How do you feel about this? Or are you in any way concerned? If none of these issues are concerns to you, many people would declare, maybe you don't really know yourself and life as well as you thought you did. We are all sinners. Don't listen to such foolishness. Everyone is promised everlasting life. And believe it or not, you were creating and living your everlasting self and life today. Are you willing to bring your vast eternal self and prize into the light for you and others to see and experience? 18. Many concepts of death, especially those involving the period immediately following death, speak of trials and judgments and ordeals to review and liberate the dead. But these actions, trials, and tests only apply to a self that has not previously been enlivened and lived abidingly. For those who have awarefully lived as eternal abiding beings, that eternal self continues pretty much as usual, certainly without a life review and judgment or a testing and liberation ritual. 19. Death is not an ending. It is a new passage to a begin again self and life. 20. All aspects of the universe, including you, have more than just a relative position to other aspects. Every aspect has a memory relationship to other aspects, such that every aspect and body of the universe exists in a memory attraction or pull of dependency for everything around them. And more massive bodies create a more massive attraction or pull of dependency or surrounding bodies, whether seen or not seen. 21. Apologies to Einstein. Gravity is not a bending or warping of the fabric of space, such that smaller bodies fall toward and orbit larger bodies. For space-time is memory, not a membrane, and gravity is the dependent attraction between the objects in memory.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Because everybody is so caught up in what Einstein has said about gravity. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure
if I don't understand that gravity is the dependent attraction between the objects in memory.
Does memory have mass?
No.
Okay. So what might be going on there?
Particles are around without data and information.
What about entanglement?
Oh, okay. And what has gravity to do with entanglement?
Memory.
Memory is...
You want to help clarify that, please?
What?
You want to help clarify that for her?
Why? You messed it up, but...
That's why I'm asking you to help clarify it. If I messed it up, say so.
Just go to memory. Don't leave entanglement out of it.
Okay.
So I see it.
So explain it to her. I don't know how.
Explain what to her? She didn't ask correctly.
Yes, she did. She is confused by gravity is the dependent attraction between the objects in memory.
What's wrong with that?
She wants a better, more thorough picture of that.
I don't know how to do it.
How is memory attracted to each other?
How do these things occur is an issue that's not an issue. You're just saying those things to avoid understanding. How does that occur? You could say that about anything.
Okay. What is the glue that pulls them together?
Memory.
So
now you're going to ask me, how does memory do that?
No, does memory have mass then?
It doesn't say it has mass. Don't change the subject.
Is memory, okay, it says gravity is the dependent attraction between the objects in memory.
What's the dependent attraction?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. It's the
dependent.
The dependent. So, are you saying the dependent attraction between the objects is memory?
Yes.
And I'm not quite sure why the word dependent. That's confusing me a little bit.
That's why I went to entanglement, but obviously that was incorrect.
But that was what Angela was asking last night. If I'm entangled, am I not dependent? And is free will not?
Angela, it does anything to get entanglement in there.
Yeah, so let's
but
not
you,
talk entanglement.
But you just told all of us, through Misty, you told all of us to not deal with entanglement, just stay with gravity.
Yeah.
Gravity is memory.
Gravity is memory.
Gravity is the action of memory.
It's an action of memory. He didn't say it is memory.
Yeah,
it's the attraction between the objects in memory.
So that's an action.
Point. Yeah, okay.
So why is it the dependent attraction? Is there something in the word
what
dependent
makes the dependence
that I'm not understanding?
You have to have two items.
I could see a mutual attraction. Maybe that's what it's talking about, but
does dependent mean you can't have one without the other?
Among other things.
What else does dependent mean?
What do you want it to mean?
Can I take it into, just take it back one passage, where you say more massive bodies create a more massive attraction or pull of dependency? What would that pull of a dependency be?
Memory.
Okay. It's one of those.
So if you read that one before, it says every aspect has a memory relationship to other aspects, such that every aspect and body of the universe exist in a memory attraction or pull of dependency on everything around them. So that's where he's talking about the gravity. And more massive bodies create more massive attraction or pull of dependency. So bigger planets have more mass and therefore more attraction or more of a pull of dependency.
And that's, again, as we were saying last night, it's just the way things work. It's not a loss of free will. Like the word dependency, I think for a lot of people, triggers the thought of the loss of free will. But we're not talking about
not
that.
Even
we're
talking
just
about that. So if we talk about our body and the Earth is a massive attraction.
Hey, okay. Somebody's there.
A massive attraction, and the other is not.
So Angie's asking if vast abiding cells have a lot of gravity. And Roger dingles his head, yes, yes. Ingle, ingle, yes, yes.
Black Volkswagen?
Mine.
Yeah, it's gotta be moved.
They've gotta roll it out of the way because the guy can't get out.
Okay, well my car just stopped and
we've gotta roll
okay.
It.
Okay.
Hang on.
Pause.
Angela, we gotta move a car. There's some dependent gravity happening here.
Hang yeah.
Oh wow.
Right.
That's
yeah,
funny.
It just died when I was at the
oh no
at the top.
Okay. See that